Welcome to Radio Amenti, embracing the eternal now where minds and timelines merge, inspiring synchronicity, awakening potential, and making sense of change.
Everybody, the time has come. Finally doing a solo cast podcast to get you up to speed on all of the life changes and transitions that have occurred over the last few months. When I think about the fact that the last solo cast episode I did was on the death of the familiar and just the level of brokenness and heartache that enveloped that time, it's pretty fucking insane to take a look at my life now and all the beauty that's come from the dissolution of what was. So where to begin? Well, I'm titling this episode Solve It Coagula because alchemy has been such a beautiful lens to view the human experience through. Alchemy is basically, you know, there are layers to it, right? Like if you're looking at operative alchemy as the process of extracting essences from materials to make medicine or to work towards the philosopher's stone. Or if you look at alchemy, philosophically speaking, beyond any like kind of like new age, I'm an alchemist. And I don't say that because The Alchemist is actually a beautiful book. I'm saying it in the way that is bastardized and used really often as kind of like a catchphrase for coaches. I digress. Alchemy, in a metaphorical sense, is the art of transmutation, being able to take the densities of the life experience and to extract the gold. You know, how to find the gold from the lead, how to see and experience this life with a philosophical lens that helps you make sense of change, playing with words. Yeah, alchemy. One of the alchemical processes is the notion, again, why this episode is titled what it is Solve It Coagula. So in order for something to transform and change, it must dissolve and then coagulate. What has happened over the last year is dissolution, change, burning away of what was, a crumbling, a being faced with the fires of change and fearlessly moving forward to the other side. If you haven't listened to the episode Death of the Familiar, I would recommend checking it out if you want to go further on this episode. But if not, you know, just kind of get you up to speed. So last summer, I went through something really traumatic, which essentially was a catapult that catapulted me from New Jersey to LA. And after I got to LA, my beloved familiar, Ziggy, precious Maine Coon cat, passed away after being my really dear companion for 10 years. It was kind of like the crescendo after a storm of chaos, in the midst of the storm of chaos, which was 2020. Global pandemic, social injustice, uncertainty, conspirituality, so much. So I got to LA in August and, you know, Ziggy passed away in October, and then life started changing in a really interesting way. Through synchronicity, shortly after, actually the day after Ziggy left her body, I was gifted an opportunity to experience ketamine in a medically supervised way, which was something called the ketitation. In this experience, as most of you know that followed my work, I've been quite the avid psychonaut over the years, but I had never danced with ketamine before in a way that was intentional, to put it that way. So this was very intentional. And in this journey, essentially, you know, being medically supervised, we were given anti-nausea medicine, a controlled dose, which has lasted about 45 minutes. And we're put in an environment where we are safe, could drift off into a deep meditation, see what happened in the liminal to provide healing and form new neural pathways to rewrite our trauma. And that experience was amazing. As somebody that's done ayahuasca, 5-MeO-DMT, DMT, mushrooms, San Pedro, you name it, in my explorations of inner and outer worlds, I found the ketamine experience to be so deeply grounding and essential, especially after having some dances with psychedelic medicines that were very ungrounded and confusing and scary. After that meditation with ketamine, I felt more certain of the path of just being human and embracing the middle way and understanding things a lot more, and not in some woo metaphysical, everything happens for a reason, more just an acceptance that like things can just happen. Sometimes those things happen for a reason. Sometimes those things just happen, but there is still a beauty in the alchemy of either. And in that liminal space, that gray area of not knowing the why of the what, there's still beauty to be found in being a human being with her feet planted on the ground and not so much still drifting off into other worlds to try and make sense of the world, to actually be in the world. And what a strange thing to be in the world when the world is shut down, right? But shortly after that, you know, I really picked up walking and drawing, and I just started finding myself again. And in that polishing of the mirror in October through Divine Synchronicity, a really good friend of mine, Mike Brancatelli, host of Mikeadelic Podcast, had shared an episode he recorded with Adam Aronovich, who is a PhD candidate, medical anthropologist. I can't speak highly enough about all the things that he is, but essentially, you know, Mike and Adam had met when they were both at Temple of the Way of the Light in Peru, and they recorded a podcast together. Mike shared the podcast. I didn't even listen to the podcast, but something in my heart of hearts told me to add Adam as a friend on Facebook, and the rest was history. Flash forward to whirlwind romance of him coming to LA, me going to Mexico, instant knowing that this is the one. I'm now here, and Adam and I got married on June 1st at a small ceremony in Las Vegas, just he and I and my dear friend Ben Decker and his partner Sade Simone, and it was amazing and so incredibly strange to have gone through that dissolution of so much and to have found order after so much chaos and to be met with the ultimate mirror. And I've found that in my husband. It's funny because not too shortly before Adam and I met, I did a podcast with Michael Phillip, Third Eye Drops. It was the last podcast we did together. And I paraphrased some Buddhist saying about how when you meet your soulmate, you won't have butterflies or you won't feel anxious or you won't have like sweaty palms. You'll actually have a calm sense of knowing. And that's really what's happened from the moment that I met him to now, is just this calm sense of knowing. And, you know, it's pretty wild to have an October to June journey. But yeah, it's pretty insane how these tropes or cliches that, like, when you know, or do the work on yourself and then you'll find the one. There is a value in that. But there's also a value in staying skeptical of, like, okay, again, like, yes, and. but just as I kind of, like, really washed my hands with a lot of those things, I kind of had the cosmic wink of just being like, well, see, there is still magic out there. And yeah, there is something alchemical about that too, the union of your complementary opposite and what third thing emerges. And the third thing that has emerged in the space that I've taken to not be recording as many podcasts, to really just enjoy the journey of love, is a real understanding of what I actually want and clarity on what that even means. And that transcends my personal life and my beautiful relationship with this wonderful human, but also, you know, my creative life. And, you know, having audio as a medium to broadcast through is so meaningful. When I had my first podcast, Liberation Frequency, our tagline was initiation through the art of conversation, progression through unlearning. And this podcast has kept a lot of that same ethos of the idea of how a conversation can initiate you into a new understanding of your world, and an unlearning of all the things that you learned can allow you to continue to, I guess, surf the seas of change with a more balanced footing. And, you know, the art of metaphor is a beautiful thing. Again, words can create our worlds. And when we have different words to shape our world, the world becomes that much bigger. And, you know, there's so many traps in the spiritual space of, like, the verbiage, the language, the quotes, the things that we say over and over and over again to validate our feelings and biases and hopes for what it all means. But yeah, being really intentional with how we use language and how I'm choosing to use these broadcasts is really, like, the goal moving forward, right? I loved all of my episodes so far. I am so excited about the new episodes that will come on the horizon and whatever in between. Unfortunately, you know, in the beginning, I was a little less discerning and I had to take down two episodes with guests that were supporters of QAnon and the conspirituality rhetoric, but it's a lesson learned. And, you know, big, big intention moving forward is that whatever gets fed through this show, I either would like it to be something that leaves you feeling lighter by making you laugh and feel good, leaves you feeling full in the way of providing information and wisdom or any kind of resources that can fill your cup and offer, like, grounding through, you know, a not an easy time or not an easy journey when you make the choice to, like, self-reflect and become more self-aware. And I want the conversations to make you feel as though you're not alone. If anything, you know, what I've found through the medium and what's emerged through the medium of podcasting is not feeling alone in the world. And then also meeting like-minded spirits, friends, humans that actually, like, make you not so alone in the world. So yeah, like, the big intention here is, like, to make you laugh, to make you feel good, to provide insights and resources, and to offer comfort in discomforting times. And if I'm not doing any of those things, then it's not worth it. I'm not here to just, like, offer a platform to just, like, you know, have somebody, like, talk about their new book and then offer them PR and then that's it. Like, there's enough of that out there. I want this to be something that feels meaningful and good. When I share my life experiences or stories in these solo cast episodes, it's not as a means of being self-indulgent, but it's just a means to humanize your host so you understand how my own journey weaves into the journeys that we weave through interviews and conversations that happen on here. And that no matter how things may look from a perspective of social media or career or whatever lens of perception we glean through, that I am a human being, and I am not free from suffering in the infinite ocean of samsara. And no matter how learned or understanding I am of alchemy and occult principles and things of that nature, sometimes life can throw you curveballs that no matter whatever you have in your spiritual toolkit, you aren't prepared for, and you need time to grieve and process and recalibrate and dissolve before you can coagulate into the new thing. And, you know, that's been the last few months, but I'm grateful for it. So, you know, moving forward, I'm really excited to have more conversations on here that feel meaningful, and to just really step deeper into being a voice that is helpful. And yeah, that's the big thing. How to be helpful, how to be useful, and how to live a quote unquote spiritual life without gaslighting yourself into thinking that if negative things happen to you, that you are the attractor of the negative thing and somehow deserve them, and that you can only be positive, and positive thinking is the way, and positive, positive, positive. And it's like, yes, and right? It is helpful to have positive thoughts. The more positive thoughts you have, the more it rewires your brain to think positively, the more positive things can unfold from that space. But it is inhuman to not acknowledge that each of us has a shadow side. Each of us has a darkness that the world doesn't get to see. So in embracing the juxtaposition between these two opposites, we find a sense of wholeness. Yes, think positive, but yes, if you're feeling angry or sad or going through a trauma, you didn't deserve it. You're not alone. And there's nothing wrong with you for having to go through the trial by fire. You can find comfort in the idea of things happening for a reason and everything connecting, and X had to happen so that Y could, so you could get to Z. But it doesn't discount that some of this shit is really painful and some of it just happens. You know, it's a paradox, right? Because if I think of things and I unpack and say, well, if last summer didn't happen, if last year didn't happen, if the pandemic didn't occur, which basically forced me to move out of my apartment and go live with my mom for a little while, then to be swimming in a sea of toxicity, which culminated in a really traumatic evening that forced me out of the house and forced me to move to LA and got me to LA, and then I randomly decided to add somebody on Facebook that now became my husband after I did a lot of work on myself and met my mirror. It's like, yeah, I can zoom out and the story is like really incredibly woven together of like, oh my God, it all had to happen for a reason, for the web to be woven, and the synchronicities that exist between my husband and I feel divinely handed, it as though there is a God. There very well may be. But I'm also fully prepared to believe that maybe there isn't, and maybe it all happened. Maybe there, this is all just a simulation, and the reason that we're having this broadcast right now and you're listening to me is because some pimply-faced teenager is playing The Sims in his mother's basement and decided to make me be this character. Who knows? I don't know. Every possibility is endless. Every possibility is interesting. Every possibility is weird, and every possibility is beautiful, and it doesn't take away anything from the meaning of it all. But again, embracing that paradox that everything can be meaningful and meaningless all at once, or somewhere fall in between, and it's still okay. But yeah, it's been quite a journey, and I'm grateful for all of it. And not grateful because I'm like practicing my gratitude journal, but like sincerely grateful because it's really nice to land in this space after it all. And, you know, on the Death of the Familiar episode, I touched upon too my decision to break up with alcohol and the etymology of alcohol and how, you know, essentially it's like Al Ghul in Arabic means body eating spirit, and in alchemy, alcohol is the substance used to extract the essence of a substance. And when, you know, we were deep in prime pandemic time, and I was doing like isolation tank and living at my mom's, you know, I was drinking wine every night because I had trouble sleeping, and I was really disappointed in myself being 35 and like living at my mom's house with her not so nice husband, and just kind of like in this fuck my life moment of like, wow, how can I have studied all these things for so long? I'm a published author and like have a podcast and an online magazine, and I've fucked up so much that now I am living at my mother's house. It was the worst. But in that time of just kind of like numbing and tuning out, a weird opposite tuning in happened when I saw how destructive that was. And, you know, here we are almost a year later, and I haven't drank since that really traumatic day. And it's not so much of the fact that like I got into a pattern of self-hatred because of the unfortunate circumstances of that time and needing to just take a beat and recalibrate by moving in with my mom. It was about just recalibrating the future too. Last summer, I got into a habit of doing 6-word stories, which in my new book, Everyday a Mentee, one of the weeks offers that as an exercise for self-inquiry, because it stems from this urban legend of how Ernest Hemingway was tasked to write an effective story in just 6 words. And the story he wrote was Baby Shoes for Sale, Never Worn. And when I saw that in the writing workshop and read that in this writing workshop that I did, it really affected me so much that, you know, incorporated that as an exercise into my book. And then last summer was doing 6-word stories as just an exercise of transmutation of memory. And one of the 6-word stories that I did that I think about often as a reason to why alcohol is no longer part of my life is the story that I wrote that says, time repeats, answers unanswered, mother's ancestors. And when you break down those words, it's like time repeats, answers unanswered, mother's ancestors, it's trauma. And I come from a family where my mother drank, my mother's mother was an addict, my mother's father was an alcoholic. There's a lot of addiction in my family line, and addiction clouds clarity. And if I were to fall into a pattern of rationalizing that it's okay to just drink wine every night because it's just wine, it's just like 2 glasses, it helps me fall asleep, I'm replicating time repeating, answers unanswered. I am my mother's ancestor, and I wanted to create something different for myself, to be a better ancestor for my God willing children. And there's no judgment for me about alcohol. Everybody's on their own journeys, right? I've had some really great times with it. My early 20s were a riot, going out and partying in New York and having a really great, great time. But alcoholism is a disease, right? And it's like the analogy I tried to explain to the person in my life who's an alcoholic is that, you know, I could eat a piece of candy and have no effect on me, right? I could just eat a piece of candy, maybe not be so happy with myself that I ate something sugary and gross, but it's fine. It's not detrimental to my health. But if a diabetic ate a piece of candy, their body would react in a different way because of how sugar interacts with their system. It's not the same thing. And I think of alcoholism and, you know, somebody that doesn't struggle with alcoholism or have that in their family line could be able to enjoy adult beverages and not have issue. But when that's in your DNA and your ancestry and your family line, somebody with alcoholism and they have a drink, it affects them differently. And this was never understood fully, and I don't think will ever be understood fully by the person in my life who struggles with this. But, you know, they could have a sip of wine and it's like a demon took over. So not that that would happen with me. I'm generally a happy drunk, but it just felt like I needed to end it. And the interesting thing is that as it ended and approaching a year of sobriety, things have only gotten better. And I mean, that's the interesting thing about mind, right? If we're going to keep tying in alchemical or hermetic concepts to life, but from a grounded way, you think of the first principle in the Kabbalion with the all is mind and the universe is mental. But if you're in a space like I was, where mind was being clouded by toxic trauma, and then indulging in a substance that literally extracted my spirit because I was in a space of trauma, my mind was not functioning at the top optimal level. And the all is mind, and what you see is a reflection, is a refraction or a reflection of mind. It makes sense that things were toxic all around. It makes it feel like that's the why. But again, like this is metaphorically reevaluating things, while at the same token saying it could have all just happened. And if that was the case, that it all just happened and everything that happened from that was the result and that's that, I'm happy with it too. So it's the embracing of both, right? But yeah, maybe it's confusing to kind of like think in this way, right? To be able to like love these great esoteric occult texts that talk about how everything connects. And, you know, there's the seven hermetic principles which govern our living universe that explored in the Kabbalion, right? There's the three alchemical principles that, you know, the Tria Prima, that all things alchemical kind of stem from. And there's like correspondence with everything. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm just like fucked up from seeing so much frustration in the spiritual space. Maybe it all does happen for a reason, but maybe it doesn't. Ah, what do you think? It's just complex. And I think in the embracing of complexity and holding that it could be and it also can't be, there is the philosopher's stone, right? There's the gem. There's the great pearl. There's the beauty. Yeah, it's interesting to contemplate. And yeah. And in contemplating the future, I feel really inspired and good. And I hope you all do too. Strange to think, you know, here, nearing the end of the pandemic and things starting to open back up and the world becoming more alive, even though we're still being faced with great change. I am excited to see what will open up and, on a micro, macro, meta way, I guess we'll see what happens from there. But in the interim, you can expect more new Radio Menti episodes coming soon. Lots of really interesting new guests. We are so excited because Radio Menti is now going to be a part of the Time Wheel Podcast Network. And on July 10th in Austin, Texas, we are doing an event with Time Wheel and with Mike Brancatelli of Mycadelic and Michael Phillip of Third Eye Drops as a way to bring awareness to the new podcast network that's forming. If you're in Austin, please come July 10th. Feel free to email for more details. I'll be plugging it on a future episode too. Because of Time Wheel, we have our first Radio Menti sponsors, which are Sheath Underwear, which are absolutely amazing. And I love the sports bras that they sent me. And a really great Kava company that, if you're not familiar with what Kava is a root from Indonesia, I believe. And this is a plant medicine that's known to promote calm, relaxation, and sociability. And it's been used for centuries by Pacific Islanders to unwind after a long day. And it's like really awesome. So our sponsor is Ohana Kava Bar and Sheath Underwear, which is like really, really great. So if you want to check out either of these items, Sheath Underwear, if you go to sheathunderwear.com, you can use the promo code of Menti and get 20% off of your order. And if you want to go to check out the Kava, you can go to ohanakavabar.com and use promo code TIMEWHEEL for 10% off of your order. So both are our new sponsors. I'll be plugging them on future episodes. So yeah, underwear and relaxation. Relaxing in your underwear. Is that really a bad thing, right? But it's really cool. And Kava, I can say, so like, again, talking about like, unpacking the last year and any residual tendrils of trauma, Kava and also Kratom have been really, really great natural allies that have helped when those moments kind of surface where I'm like, oh my God, I really could like use a drink to numb out. Instead of turning to that, I've turned to plants and they've both been really useful. And I'd love to do just like future episodes maybe of useful plants or useful things I've found that help relax, if that doesn't feel boring. Actually feels like something kind of cool. But yeah, I highly, highly check it out. And again, if you're in Austin on July 10th, please come to our event. It is at the Church of the Sacred Womb. And I'll have links in the show notes of how you can come. But yeah, the mics are awesome. And it'll be fun to be able to just like have a live event again. Because it's been a really long time and my former event series is defunct, thank God. But this one should be really fun and I hope to see you there. But in the meantime, I'll keep it relatively short and sweet and not ramble for an hour about how in love I am and how grateful I am and how I've embraced paradox while also seeing things through the alchemical hermetic lens and how wild it is that it does seem to all connect, even if it doesn't all connect. Yeah. And thanks for being here and thanks for listening and being a part of the Radio Menti universe. You're all amazing. And I look forward to continuing to growing and learning and evolving and just being here with you all. So until the next episode, stay golden. I don't know. Is that like a weird way to end it? Stay golden. I'm talking about alchemy. Stay golden. Find your gold. I don't know. Just stay cool. And I love you. How's that? Peace out, everyone.